Today's daf is daf Memvav. And we're holding by the Tana Rabbanan, which is about fifth way down. Tana Rabbanan. The Anshuoto Zemamon, the Yisru Zemalko. So yesterday we spoke about the Machlokas, and we actually just began, we're going to get more into it later, between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and between the Rabbanan. Is the case of a Motzi Shemra, Dafka, where he had actually slept with her and was saying over something that was part of what had happened, or is it anything at all that he tied his stam, a guy gets married, maybe doesn't even sleep with his wife. He goes to the chuppah, and before he sleeps with her, he brings Aiden that she really was mizanah, and he says, look, these people came, they told me I'm not, this is not the kind of woman I want, and I can't sleep with her, I'm usher, she was having an affair after our erison, and therefore she's high of misa, it's not my business. So this was a machlokas. Okay, today we want to get into the makor of the chalal of the chiyuvim of a motzi shemra. We just mentioned in the Mishnah, and we took it for granted, that there were two chiyuvim. There's a chiyuv of tashulim, which is the mea kesef, and there's a chiyuv of malchus, which is not as clear. Where does that chiyuv come from? So today the Gemara asks, what is the makor? Mino. Omre b'yavu, the fact that when it says v'yisru, though is malchus, is learnt out from the following limur. L'madu yisru mi yisru. You'll notice that when it comes to the din of a ben soreru morer, so it says over there also that when his father and mother bring him to Beis Din the first time, so it says v'yisru oto, that they gave him malchus there. How do we know that's malchus? We'll see in a moment. And nonetheless, lo yishmalehem, and so the next time you have this chiyuv of misa. Now that word v'yisru, by the case of the ben soreru morer, meant malchus. How do we know that? Because we learned it, v'yisru. Now, what I'm about to say is not the pshat that Rashi says here, but it's the pshat that Rashi says elsewhere, wherever he brings it up. And it's a much simpler pshat. And the Shita asks over here of bringing Rashi from Sanhedrin, why in the world does he change the pshat? But the simple pshat is that the v'yisru, that it says by the ben soreru morer, we know means malchus, because over there in the pasuk, v'yisru, it says beferish ben soreru morer. And that lashon of ben, we learn ben mi ben from the case of Vaya in Dinakot HaRasha. So since the ben by ben soreru morer indicates to us that the v'yisru, which is the ikrachi of Malchus, is Vaya in Dinakot HaRasha. So it indicates to us that the v'yisru by ben soreru morer is Malchus. So then if it says v'yisru oto by motzi shemra, it means the same thing v'yisru oto means by the ben soreru morer, and you now know that v'yisru is Malchus. Rashi over here says a much more complex approach. What he learns is, similar to the drasha that we had yesterday, that the Yisru tells us, we have the similar lashon by the Shar and the Petach, by the Mishkan, that we made a Petach, but we had the equivalent of a Shar. And then we learned out Shar from Sharecha. But Rashi does the same thing over here. He says, look, the fact that it says over there, the Yisru, and Ben, means that we could take Ben and insert it into the Yisru by the case of the Motzi Shemra, because where it says Yisru, it also means Ben. But once that's true, we now can learn out the v'yisru, which is a ben, from the Vayyim Binakot HaRasha, directly to the case of the Motzi Shemra. What advantage there is in doing that is the Maran S, I mean, it seems just to add another step. If we were talking about the Kochim, we're over there, you can't be Lomid, a Lomad, but not Lomad, so then it's important to do things that way. Because you have to have the Liba going directly to the Pasuk that you're learning it out from. But what's the objection over here to saying that the word v'yisru implies Malchus, which we know from the Yisru, so from the Ben Soreru Morer, which is learned directly for Vayyim Binakot HaRasha. This is something of a mystery, why Rashi changes his understanding here. Okay, but in any event, the word v'yisru, either because it has Ben with it, or because Ben taught us by the case of v'yisru of the Ben Soreru Morer, but the case is that the word v'yisru means Malchus, which we learn out from Vayyim Binakot HaRasha. Now, this is all very nice when it comes to the Onesh. But we know that the Torah never gives Malchus unless there's an Isser in the Torah to do what it is that you did. The Torah never tells you, well, if you did that, then this is what you're chayav. First, the Torah explains to you what you're not supposed to do. So that's called an Azara. So Azara. L'motzi Shem Rami Nolan. How do we know? Where does the Torah say not to do what it is that the Motzi Shem Ra does? To say over these lies about his wife. And says the Gemara, that I know, Rabbi Elazar Amar Milotelech Rachil. Says, Beferish in the Torah, you're not allowed to go around speaking Lashon Hara on somebody. And that's what he's doing. Rabbi Natan Omer, we learn it out from V'nishmarta Mikol Davara. You have to be careful from anything which leads to Ra. And certainly, and that word Nishmarta, of course, we know all over the word Yishamer is a Lashon of Lotaseh. So Yishamer mikol davar ra, you're saying a bad thing about her and causing bad things to happen to her. The Nishmarta is a lot not to do that. V'Rabbi Elazar, my time lo amar mihai. What was wrong with Rabbi Elazar from using Rabbi Natan's pasuk? Because he says v'Nishmarta mikol davar ra is meant to be understood from the context. And that context is the context of Pinchas ben Yoyer. Since the posik of Nishmarta mikol davar ra is up against the posik of Ish ki lo yetahor mikre laila, so we see Nishmarta mikol davar ra means something that will lead a person to have a wet dream. One of those things is that he should have yirurim royim. He should be thinking about things that stimulate him. And if that's the case, the Torah is saying, be careful not to have something which will cause that. So those kinds of fantasies are what's included in the Nishmarta mikol davar ra. So I can't use the pasuk to tell me the Nishmarta mikol davar ra not to speak ra. I'm just talking about something else completely. And Rabbi Natan, I mean, isn't Lo Selech Rochel directly addressing the issue of saying things about somebody else? So my time of Lo Ama Mihai, what does he have against learning out Lo Telech Rachil as the Azara? He learns Ahu. Azara lebeit din, that lo telech rachil is a lotion of rakut. It means softly, to be soft to somebody. Rachil would then be sort of a notrikun. Rachli, be nice to me. So the guy maybe has a good relationship with one of the judges, or is trying to influence one of the judges in some other way, then be nice to me, it's worth it. So lo telech rachli is rachil. Don't go in that way, which means shelo ye rach lezeh, bekosha lezeh. Not to treat one person who comes before you in a case with greater dignity than you deal with the other one, which causes already the guy to start thinking that what's the point of my bringing forth my tinus, and he no longer functions fully. He's no longer able to express himself. He starts to stutter and to be frightened of his own words. And that way you're putting him at a disadvantage. Now, getting back to the case of the Motzi Shema. The Motzi Shemra, if it hadn't been for the fact that the man who married her had been complaining in the Beit Din about it, and one goes over to the father and says, Lomatzati lebitcha betulim, the whole story, he would just be an innocent bystander, and Edim would show up, and the Edim would say, this woman had been Mizana while she was still an Arusa. So yesterday we saw, what's the halacha in such a case? She is chayev still skila, because as we said, we go according to the time of the chayt, was Erisin, and since she is currently not the Beit Aviyah, we would take her back to Beit Aviyah that we saw yesterday, but the husband would be an innocent bystander, he wouldn't be fired. What precisely is it that makes him chayev? Is it the fact that he said that she was not a betulah, and then Edim came? Or is it that he created the whole case? Did he bring the Edim? Or suppose he brought the Edim only because the Edim came to him? Would that be enough? Or did he have to actually hire these Edim to say Sheker? So he built the case against her. How much involvement is necessary in order to be a Motzi Shemra? So asks the Gemara, Lo Amar La Edim Bo'u V'Ha'iduni. Suppose he didn't tell the Edim, I want you to come and say what this woman did while she was an Arusa. And they come and they're made on their own. They made Edinoto Me'alehem. There the halacha is, Hu Eino Lo Keve Eino Note Me'asla'im. Despite the fact that he may have complained about her, he doesn't, under those circumstances, get Malkus, and he doesn't get the Knas of Me'a Sheka. And he v'zomemeh makdimim lebeit haskila, he v'zomemeh. How could both she and the Edim that say that the Edim that claimed originally that she was Mizana, now they're Edim zomemim, how could they both be killed? I mean, if they're liars, then she is innocent. No, we mean, ohi ozomemeh makdimim lebeit haskila. So says the Braitha. Now, this is a continuation. We're still continuing what we learned yesterday. Taima, delo amarlu. So what is this Braitha saying? That he did not say to the Edim. Does that not mean that if he did say to the Edim, come, I want you to testify. Afagav delo agrino. So you see that this Braitha, the Tana Rabbanan that began Vanshuo Tozemom and so on, this Braitha is telling me that even though he didn't hire these agents, and he didn't set it up that they should testify, he just called them and said, I want you to testify to the court, he would still be chayav. La fuki mi Rabbi Yehuda. This tells us that Rabbi Yehuda's approach, another braita, is not the approach of this braita. The Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino chayav, achi yizkor edim. A Motzi Shemra is not just a guy who speaks or a guy who presents Aidim that he knows about. He had to create this Aidus. He had to pay Aidim to testify falsely, and it's because of that that we give him the whole halakha of a motzi shemra. My time to review it, where does Rabbi Yehuda get this from? Om Rabbi Avu, at yat sima sima. He says, the word v'samla alilot devarim. What does v'samla mean? He set up for her alilot devarim. Well, we find the same halacha, the same word rather, when it comes to taking interest, where it says lo tasimun alav nesha. Lo tasimun means don't set it upon him. Now, set what upon him? By definition, what we're talking about in the case of ribit, of interest, is malahalan mamon, just like sima means by definition money. So when it says v'samla alilot devarim, it must mean that he paid for people that would back up his lies against her. So he's trying to get rid of this woman, so the divorce Italian style is really messy. But I mean, if you do it Jewish style, you have the best and take her out. And then there's no problem at all. So therefore he pays now, that's the Jewish vision of a contract, and nothing so gross as to actually shoot her down. You're made that she was Mizana as an Arusa. And Sima actually means to set up, right? Set up. Omar Remako Bar Yitzchak, the Chaitani, Rabbi Yosef, Sidoni, the Rishima Bar Yochai, Atya Sima Sima. The Sima Sima that you're talking about is the Makor for the Halacha, as you said, that we learned it out from Rabbit. It's got to be that he paid for it. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, how far do we go with the Sima Sima thing? Do we say it's literally like Rabbit? And as we know by Rabbit, there's no Halacha of Rabbit in land. So let's say if you make a deal with somebody on a soda, and that if something happens, he's going to pay you back a soda and a half. There's no history beat there. So suppose he pays the Edom off with land. It's not included because it wouldn't be included in the din of rebate. Or how about, is it mamish, a halacha of mamon? How about if it's pachot b'shava pluta? Are we learning out an idea of taking out a contract, or are we learning out literally what the word to pass money across means? Suppose it was less than a shavar prutis. It doesn't have a din of mamon, but it certainly is a hiring. Well, let's say it has a shavar prutis, but only enough for both together. But if you would split the payment between the two eidim, then it would be pachas b'shavar prutis. Or let's say shnei shavar prutis. Now, what would be the din over there? Mal. Boy, Rav Ashi. Let me add something else. Hotzi shemra ala nisuvina rishonim mal. How about if he goes ahead, marries her once, wasn't motzi shemra on her, gives her a get. Then he takes her back, and now, this time, takes her to the chuppah and he's motzi shemra about what had happened while she was in Arusat in the first time. So he's now her husband, and he's now complaining about the original erusin that he had in a previous marriage to her. Is it a din that it has to be that he's coming as the new chosun, so to speak, and that the erusin was of the erusin of this marriage? Or is it just that tachtav she was mizana, what's nafkamina, if it was this time or a previous time? Or how about this case? How about al nisuei achiv mal? Suppose he's coming now to Taina, he's a yova, and his brother died while she was in Arusa. So he still has to be miyabim her, but I mean he's getting her as a betula. Now he's coming to say that this guy, this girl, apparently was mizana while she was tachat achiv, and now I am in his place. Does that count? Is that about to shame on the brother's marriage? Would that also count? He's also saying lo matzati bitulim. But show to me a chot. One of these I know the answer to, as we saw earlier. The Tori Rabbi Yona et biti natati leish hazeh. What's the stress on hazeh? Hazeh velo leyavam. The entire taina that the father can bring is only when he identifies the individual to whom he had given over his daughter and accepted kedushin. But if this were the brother of that individual, because the original individual had died, so then it's not included in this parsha. That the Torah says up front. So it has to be Lizeh. So that part we know, at least that. Now, getting back to the machlokas that we were all talking about at such length yesterday that we never saw in its mekor. We kept referring to a machlokas between Eliezer and Yaakov and the Rabbanan about whether the din of a motzi shemra is that a man who actually took a woman to the chuppah and slept with her and then says, lo matzati labitcha betulim, with the whole story now that we know, with Aiden, either with renting the Aiden, not hiring, whatever machlokas we have. But it sounded like he actually had to have married her and slept with her. Or, lav dafka, even though it says lo matzati labitcha betulim, maybe he never even tried. Maybe he's done, decided he wants to get rid of her, brought Aiden, or hired Aiden, and those Aiden We're saying that she had been mizanet taktavot snafkamina, what he did. The point is what she had done. That we saw yesterday was a machlokas, and here's the makor. My rabbanon and my rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. What is this shita that you keep referring to? The Tanya. Ketzad hotzaat shemra. The Braita says, what is the seder of hotzaat shemra? Borla beidin v'amar, he comes to beidin and brings the father to beidin to say, hey, Mr. Ploni, lo matzati lebitcha betulim. So, im yesh edim shezin tatachtav, if we have witnesses that she was mizana as an arusa, she still gets a ktuva mona, and, what, say that again? Im yesh edim shezin tatachtav, yesh a ktuva mona. I understand, but skilahi, what mona, who mona, what? No, I'm sorry. Okay. Im yesh edim shezin tatachtav, then beskila. If it turns out, however, if it turned out, it's right what he's saying, that indeed there were no betulim, but not because she had been mizana after the erusin, but because she had been mizana before they even met. So he thought he was marrying a betula, and it turned out that he got himself a bu'ula. Not the end of the world, because this Tana holds that it's not a mekach ta'ut, and it just simply reduces the vow. We saw this machlokas earlier, if you wish. We saw the machlokas earlier. All that happens is he reduces the value of the ktuvah from 200 to 100. Fine. So in that case, yesh la ktuvah mona. Nimtza sheshem ra eno shem ra. If it turns out that his whole statement that lo matzati bebetulim, that all of that was not true, so then hu lo kevino tein me'asav. So we have three possibilities. He was lying. She was mizana as an arusa, or she was mizana before she had ever met the guy. So this bride is defining those three levels. And not only that, but he would be lokev and otein me'asela ben ba'al ben lo ba'al. Makes no nafkamina whether lamaisa, he had actually slept with her, he hadn't slept with her, whatever it was. If he was saying, stam, your daughter is worthless, she had already been mizana. And he never even tried, he found out, according to him, he had found out she was mizana before he ever consummated the marriage. Nonetheless, he would be chayiv. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov disagrees with the Tanna Kamma, which is what we're referring to as Rabbanan, and he says, no way, lo ne'emru dvarim halalu, ela kishe ba'al. Look, the pasuk defines what happened, talks about lo matzati lebitcha betulim. The guy was never ba'al. I mean, that's not the case. So bishlam el Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, he says what the pasuk seems to say. I mean, anybody reads the pasuk, the pasuk says the words ki yikach ish isha ubo eleo sne'a. So it says beferish that he slept with her and now he hates her. I mean, according to Rabbanan, he never slept with her. So I mean, the bo eleo is lav davka, and that's why it says ubo eleo, or that's why it says when he's defining what went wrong, and he says isha zot lakachti ve'ekrav eleo. What's the ekrav eleo? The ekrav eleo is that I became close, I became intimate with her, and then lo matzati la betulim. I mean, okay, so then that all makes sense. But, I mean, according to Rabbanan, he never slept with her. Why does the Torah say Ubo Aleha? And he never was Nikrav Aleha. So what's happening? According to Rabbanan, the meaning of Bo Aleha, what does that mean? What does Vaikrav Aleha mean? Says the Gemara, it must mean, according to Rabbanan, Ubo Aleha Ba'alilut. That he attacked Bo Aleha. Doesn't mean, what the word Bo Aleha means, he comes at her. Comes at her, could mean sexually, comes at her, could mean with a title. He's coming at her to mess up her life. It's also, don't come at me. So he was boiled, meaning with a plot. That's all that it means. What makes you say that it means that he consummated the marriage? Va'ekrav elea could also mean that bidvarim. In other words, I was trying to get close to her and discovered these terrible things about her. The bishlam of Eliezer ben Yaakov who said, it's only about the shame if he had actually slept with her. So then it makes sense that he says, lo matzati lebitcha betulim, because the way he's understanding the pasuk is the guy is saying, I slept with her. And lo and behold, she wasn't a betula. And I made some inquiries, and these people came forward, and they said that, sure, she's not a betula. She had this affair going on with this other guy, while she had already been mureset to you. So then the whole pasuk works out very nicely. Yes, Abba?
In fact, Kelly, how much time did the parents have to prove that these guys did the parents get some time? How much time did somebody accuses this girl of not being virgin?
That's a sugyat Sanhedrin. If they say we can find witnesses, we need time. And we give her time and talk about the parents. Or she.
Well, what do they need witnesses for?
They want so many. They want to be amazing.
Well, he brings them and they want to.
So there the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin all such cases. For Baldin says, look, I mean, I can bring you witnesses. Right now they're overseas. I need to be able to contact them and bring them. And all those cases are discussed there. But it's a valid question, but not really to this issue. So according to Rabbanan, what's this lo matzati lebitcha betulim? I mean, He's not even claiming that he tried, according to the Rabbanim. Because according to them, he doesn't have to say that I actually slept with her. So then why does he even mention the question of whether he found betulim or not? Lo matzati lebitcha betulim, according to Rabbanim, would mean lo matzati lebitcha kishrei betulim. I never found, I wanted to, I thought that I had over here a kosher betula. Now it turns out, I found out, thank God I found out in time, that she's a no-goodnik. She wasn't a kosher betula. That's what it means. I had witnesses, came and warned me. So Mishnah to the Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, again, another way, indicating the Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov is absolutely correct in understanding the pasuk, is the whole way that the Torah speaks about it. It says afterwards that the father says, this guy's a liar, he's a no-goodnik, the ele betulei biti. So he is presenting now the sheet upon which they had slept, and he's saying, here is the blood of the betulim, the guy's a liar. If he never claimed to have slept with her, the whole thing is, what is he talking about? Ela betulei biti. The guy didn't even claim he slept with her. So what's it have to do with it? But according to the Rabbanan, what's the meaning of ela betulei biti? No, again, the whole thing is metaphorical, according to the Rabbanan. Lo matzati lebitcha betulim means, this is no virgin. And when he comes along and he says, here is her virginity, it means here are the Aiden that show that in fact you're a liar, Aiden are liars, and she is exactly what she was claimed to be. Picture of the Rebbe Elizabeth Yaakov, I mean, this metaphor, we're getting carried away, it says they should spread out the sheet. Well, there is no sheet. So what is it talking about? What's the metaphorical sheet exactly? I already said, Ela Betulei Biti of the Aiden. So where's the sheet?
The spreadsheet.
Oh, and that's what the Gemara answers. That's a spreadsheet. Ain't nothing on it. It means porsu mashe samla. All that it means is the things that he spoke about, that he had said about her. We need to spread that out. As Scott says, you make it a spreadsheet. In other words, every last detail has to be put into place. And we analyze each one of them with witnesses or interrogation, whatever is required. And we get to the bottom of this nonsense. That's what it means. Melamed kiritanya hu porsu asimla. You got something that's absolutely clear, clean, without any questions. That's like a fresh sheet. You take a fresh sheet, let's start off with a fresh sheet, is what you said. Find the same lashon by Yerovam, where he had gone out to Simla. All of his Torah was Kisimla Chadasha, something that has no doubts about it. Which is really the meaning of a spreadsheet. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
Mamish, who knows? It's a fascinating thing. I mean, the meaning of a spreadsheet is that it includes every last detail. You could see where everything belongs. Fascinating. We got to look that up and see whether a spreadsheet is. Is Mamish, this is the marker. It could be. I mean, if the father does that. So, in any event, by the way, Tosis points out that even though it sounded like Dvorim Sisamla was an analysis of the word Simla, Dvorim Sisamla, that doesn't make sense because immediately we're saying, as the Braita said, Simla is Simla Kadosha. So Simla Kadosha doesn't sound, it sounds like a different, we're using the word differently. And it's just using, why did it say Dvorim Sisamla? Not because we're looking for a play on words of the Simla, but rather because we're using Visamla Alilot Dvorim. So the Dvorim Sisamla is what it is that he's spreading out. But we don't necessarily mean that that's the definition of the Vesimla. Fine. Very nice. So we have over here, that means, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Amir Dvorim Kichtavan. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov says, look, the pasuk means what it says. It says a sheet. It means a sheet. It's Simla means Simla Mamash. So it means that we have now two very, very different ways of understanding the whole parsha of Matzah Shemer. According to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's very literal. According to Rabbanan, it's very metaphorical. Tosfos has a problem with this, because Tosfos says, look, I mean, according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, is that really literal? I mean, obviously, we're not going to make a determination of the truth of the accusations against this woman based on whether you have blood on a sheet. I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, we're gonna, that means something to us, really? I mean, we know that that could have been fake. This could have been, this is a riot, that Adam are liars, and not like that. I mean, so even according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, it can't possibly mean that we're going to kill somebody on the basis of whether we have a simla. So what's the point of the porazita simla? Obviously, it's got to mean that there's something going on in the background. Real legal procedures, not some primitive spreading sheets. So what's that supposed to mean? Says Tosis, because according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, we need a level of personal viciousness here. That's the point. He is saying that this guy will not be chayev unless there's a ha'oza in his taina. He has to get down and dirty. That's the point. So when he's talking about blood, there was no blood, he's going to present the blood, the whole thing is disgusting, right? But if it's just all very illegal kind of stuff, witnesses and what happened and so on, but there's no down and dirty about it, so then Enoch Inami, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, would be put. So in the same way that we say there had to be actual intimacy between them, there needs to be a down and dirty taina about that intimacy. So when it says a process, it really means to indicate something, not metaphorically. Besides that, obviously there's other things going on as well. Very interesting approach. He's forced into this because the Gemara is insisting that Varm Kichtavan. But according to Rabbi Yezmin Yaakov, there's an overall approach of literal meaning to the psukim here. Fine. Shalach Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Giyuri, Mishmeda Rabbi Yochanan. Half our God, Shalom Etzina V'chol HaTorah Kula, Shechalaka Katuv Bein Biyah Kedarka, L'Viyah Shalom Kedarka. As far as Makas and Aunshin, there's a very interesting mimer of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan points out that as we saw in Yevamos, we went through every last variety of the definition of intercourse, remember? And we came out that for all halachas, the way in which we define the notion of bia takes no consideration of what type of bia we're talking about. It doesn't matter if it's vaginal bia, it's anal intercourse, it's the same halacha. Chiyuvim, all dinim. No matter what it is we're talking about, there's only one place where it does make a difference. Where is that? When it comes to the motzi shemra. The motzi shemra chalak. And why is this? And here he says something that doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yochanan, not according to Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov, not according to Rabban. Because when it comes, he says, to the motzi shemra, eino chayav ad sheyivol shelo kedarka. He's not chayav unless he was bayal. But of course, he could have been bayal even shelo kedarka. That part I'm not makdim on. But the yotzi shemra, that has to be kedarka. He has to say, at least, that lo matzati lebitcha betulim, he has to say that he was bayal kedarka. So in that, there is an afkamina. Because he says betulim, obviously, how could he find betulim if he wasn't bayal kedarka? Now, come on. This statement of Rabbi Yochanan doesn't work out according to anybody. It doesn't work out according to Rabbanan, because according to Rabbanan, he didn't have to really have any kind of bia. I mean, he could have just said, Aiden came and said that she had been mizanah. I never even tried to sleep with her. Thank God I got the information in advance. And according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he had to actually have slept with her in a way that would have found or not found betulim, so then he'd be kedar kabina. He would have needed not only to claim that lo matzati betulim, but to have actually been in a position to make that claim. So that means idi kedarka bein, and we need to have a bia kedarka, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan should have said, not that he could have actually been bayal shalom kedarka. Why would Rabbi Yezmer Yaakov ask him to that? You're right. Hela shalach Rav Kahana mishmed Rabbi Yochanan, the way Rav Kahana sent over the maimer of Rabbi Yochanan, it was actually completely consistent with Rabbi Yezmer Yaakov, and what he really had said was, eno chayav ad sheyiv ol kedarka v'yotzi shem rabbi kedarka, that actually there needed to be a bia, as he said, that I was born Leah, Volomatsati Betulim, Vekrave Leah. So it has to be the type of Vekrave Leah in which he could say, Lomatsati Lebitra Betulim.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Ha'av Zakai Bebito, Bekidusha. A father has rights to his daughter's Kedushin, the Kesev Shtar Ubeviyah, and he can arrange such a Kedushin either with Kesev, or he can be Mekabal Ishtar, in which it says that someone says Mekudeshetli and he takes it, or he can give her over to someone to sleep with her for the purposes of Kedusha. He is furthermore Zakai b'mitziyata v'maaseyadeha. He also gets to keep things that she finds. He gets to take her salary, and he also can be made for Nedorim, u'mikabelet gita, and if from the time there was erusin, but she gets divorced before the Nisuin and before she became a Bogeret, so then he also is the one that is makabel her get. But if she inherits money, that's not his. He doesn't get to, what he has to do is instead he has to make an investment of that money and keep reinvesting the profits. He cannot touch that. That's a trust for, he keeps it in trust for her, and it has to be treated like any other trust. She's got a mother, doesn't she? I assume she has a mother. I mean, unless I don't know. We're talking about Yoshka. I mean, but however, she inherited the money. It's enough to me.
with you? What are you looking for?
Because she has a mother. Why can't she inherit money? Why can't she get money?
Is that her? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Now that's the kind of girl I would have liked. Okay, so he cannot take that. No. From her, and he has to take care of it. He has to invest it. V'chayav. Now, the yeter alav ha'baal, the baal has even more rights than the father has, because he is ochel perot v'chayav. That he now, if she inherits money, he does actually get to be ochel perot, so he treats it like other nixei meluv. V'chayav b'mizonoteha. He, however, is also, has a chiyav to be mefarnes her. He has a chiyav of pirkunah, so that he has to provide, that he is the insurance company for her kidnapping. He's got to pay the now price. The ransom of her kidnapping. And he has to pay for her burial. Her burial, actually, we'll see later, becomes the payment of her ketubah, so to speak. In other words, since if he had died, he would have had to pay the ketubah. So if she dies, he pays for the kfura. And what is the minimal level of the kfura that he can pay for? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilo ani shel Yisrael, lo yivchot mishnei chalilim umekononot. This is, he has to pay for a Shlomo Kalbach kind of burial. It's got to be music, there's got to be people singing. I mean, that was the norm of the funeral. So whatever the norm is, the minimum, I mean, you need to have at least two people playing a flute and so on. What's that? No, it's not a put down. I must say, the most beautiful funeral I was ever at. It's absolutely amazing. This type of thing.
Oh, it's fine when they do it.
But they did it like this. Singing, they care. It's very special. These religious funerals are like really bad news. A nice mass. That's a funeral.
A week.
So, says the Gemara. How do we know that a father is Zakai Bekesef? Bekesef we know. Om Rav Yehuda, Omar Kro, the Torah says in a case where a father had sold his daughter, and now she became a Nara. So with the onset of Simonim the Halacha is, that the guy that had bought her was supposed to marry her, but if he doesn't, the Yatzah Chinam in Kesef, it says. So then she goes out free without any money. Which means that in such a case, in Kesef La'adon Zeh, there's no money in this particular transaction when she goes out of the rishus of the Adon with Simonim, but yesh kesev ladon acher. There is, however, another master where, in order to leave his rishus, she would go out with kesev. Umanu, the only other person that could possibly be called a master over this woman, is her own father, where the Torah had given him rights to the original sale. Umanu avia. See, but where does this say that the father gets the money? I mean, maybe it just means there is money in the Yetziah. In other words, you can make a Kiddushin with money. But who gets that money? Maybe she gets the money. So how do we know the Himalati Dahab? Maybe the Torah is only coming to teach us a halacha that there is such a thing as Kiddusha Kesef. And that she would be Yotzei Mershu Savia the Kiddusha Kesef. So then the right way of reading the Diyag is the Yotzachinam in Kesef. In this Yetziah in Kesef, but in a Yetziah Akeret, which is a Yetziah Mirushut Av, Yesh Kesef. But who says where the Kesef goes to? I don't see that it's referring to the father over here. So I asked the Gemara, Ema Ledida. Says the Gemara, does that make sense? Hashta Avia Mikabel Kiddushah. I mean, we know that if that is true, and that Kiddushah takes place with Kesef, we know that the Kesef will be given to the father to consummate that kinyan. Because it says, Beferish et biti natati le'ish hazeh. Fascinatingly, this is a continuation of course, the story of the Motzi Shema. So it turns out that the story of the Motzi Shema leads directly to this mission, remarkably, right? We just darshan this pasuk. Biti natati le'ish hazeh v'yisana'ea, and so on, v'sam la lelo dvarim. So now that itself indicates that the father is the one who can say these words. I, like an idiot, gave my daughter to this guy. What do you mean you gave your daughter? So in other words, you and Makaba, the money from this guy. So if he is the one that consummates the kinyan, he shakla kaspa. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We give him the money, and then he's supposed to take the money and give it to her. I mean, why would we say such a thing? Says, come on, wait. There's two levels of kiddushin. There is a kiddushin of a kitana. That we know is true because the Ein Kesef it's referring to. La'odin Zeyet sold her originally as a kitana. Now she's going out with some money. But since now he could also be Makabah Kedusha to a Nara, as we'll see later on, who's to say that the money of the Nara goes to him? maybe the Tana doesn't have her own yad. So since she doesn't have the right to make her own kinyanim, when he makes the kinyan for her, he keeps the money, because that's the meaning of the kinyan. But a na'ara who could make her own kinyanim maybe should actually get the money of the kedushin, even where the Torah gives him the right to choose a husband. So imahani mili kitana de let layad, avon na'ara de id layad, ihi tikadesh nafsha, ve ihi tishko kasba. Maybe she then is the one who gets to keep the money of her camp, because she can get to make the kedushin on her own. On makra, for that we know that's not true, because it says bin urea beit aviyah. Kol shevach ne'urim le'aviyah. Anything that comes in while this child is adolescent is her father's. We should say adolescent, but pubescent is her father's. The Elohadi Omer of Huna Omer Rav, Minayin Shema'aseh Abat Le'aviyah. So how do you explain then Rav saying, how do we know that when a girl gets a job and now, or she manufactures things at home, or does her knitting, whatever it is, that all of these things go to the father? If we learn it out from the fact that the Torah says that a person can sell his daughter for an amma, which means that he's selling basically the things that he has, in the same way that her ma'aseh yadayim, by definition, in the sale as an amma, go to the person that she was sold to. Obviously, the seller had those rights. So then that means that the father would also have been able to keep her ma'aseh yadayim. What would be the purpose of making such a drasha lamanly? Typically, the Urea Bekaviyah. I thought you claimed that the Pasuk in Urea Bekaviyah teaches across the board anything that comes in to the family through her Neurim belongs to the father. Obviously, Rav doesn't hold that, and I'll tell you why he doesn't hold it. Ella, because you understand, as well as Rav, that the Pasuk of the Neurim Beit Aviyah has to be understood contextually. And what was the context? What's talking about over there? Ela Chukim, about Nedarim. This is Matot. Parshat Matot, all about the halachas of Nedarim. What does that have to do? The Neurim Beit Aviyah has to do with money and kedushin, and that's ridiculous. Torah is talking about the chiyuvim of a neder, where the father has a right to be made for nedarim. So you understand that it's about far nedarim nedichtiv. And therefore, Rav didn't learn it out from there. So why are you learning it out from there? Legabi kedushin. V'chitema, and even if you're taina, it's true that that's the first nedarim. But why can't we learn out melech bina? Why can't we learn out a first nedarim from a first nedarim? You know the answer to that one, man. Mamonim yisrael lo yafina. You can't learn out halachas of mamonim. That we should say, because the Torah gives a father a right to be made for an adorim, that means he gets to take her money. We never learn out mamon from this. V'chi teiman melech miknasa. Maybe, Otaina, we should learn it out of knas. And we learned earlier, we had the sugya earlier, that this actually means we'll make a mamatzinu of knas and of iser. Mamon miknasa lo yafina. You can't learn out mamon from knas either. V'chi teiman melech miboshetu pgam. Maybe, Otaina, that we should learn it out from the fact that he has to pay the father everything that was done to her in the case of the Me'onis and Mefata. That's different. That's money, it's true, but Shaini Boshetu Pgam, they'll be a Nami Shayach there. The father is also part of Boshetu Pgam. You'll remember Rashi's chat earlier, and here as well. He's Shayach to Boshetu Pgam, because since he has the rights to give her over for Bia to anybody, so if that somebody who was the horrible person that the father had rights to give her to anyway, even to a menuvo, to a mukashchin, he could give her over to that, so that it's obviously his. That's how Rashi learns. The Rush learns, via shayach begavah, means he's shayach to the damages. In other words, because since lamaisa, that was money that somebody wants to give the father a beautiful gift, of say $100,000 for his geisha girl, you know, so that was all his money. Now that pagam he doesn't have, so it's a direct monetary loss. He's shayach in the loss. Forget about shayach to the rights, says the Rosh. That's the partial meaning of the sugya. So in any event, you certainly can't learn out from a mama that he is shayach begava to a mama that he is not shayach begava. Remarkable, isn't it? How all of the sugyas are fundamentally interrelated. The binu urea beit aviyah, and the idea of the moar habitulot, and the concept of tenas, and of Peter, and the dinim of Moitzi Shemra, and how that knas fit. All of it is interrelated with the very nature of the word ketubah. It's where we get the whole idea from. So that what appears on the surface to be tangential information in our mesechet is fundamental to an understanding of the whole relationship of the meaning of the ketubah. It's beautiful to see the way that the Prokhmer are organized in such a way that each element leads to the involvement of the other. It's such a beautiful mesechet. The literal mesechet means a weave. It's such a beautiful weave of concepts that are being brought forward here. So you're telling that we should learn, we can't learn out from Boshe Degam Rupagam either. Ela, the real way that we know that the, I don't think it's in the text, the real way that we know that it's got to mean that the Kesef goes to the Father is Mistavra, Bechimemayit Rachmona Yitziah, it's Yitziah the Kabataka Mamayit. When the Torah, what was our original drasha? The Yatzar Chinam, that's Yitziah, in Kesef. And you're saying, okay, but how do we know that that means that when we have now a Nara, where she has her own yacht, how do you know that that Nara would also get the give the money, now the father would still have the right to the Kiddush? That was your question. But if you think about it, the truth is that it's talking about the same type of Yitziyah. So just like the Kesef of the Adon, that we're saying, Ein Kesef L'Adon Zeh, but Yesh Kesef L'Adon Acher. Where does the Kesef go to the Adon? It would have gone had there been Kesef. Is it Shayach for there to be Kesef? Absolutely. There could have been one of the other alternatives of the Yitziyah before she presents Simanim, would have been to buy her way out. Thinking, where we make an analysis, what was the price, for how many years, and we now pay him back. That was one of the options. So then the Yatzachinam in Kesef at the time that she brings Simanim. But initially, there's an option of buying out. Who do you buy out? The person, obviously, who owns it. So that means that the money in that case would have gone to the Adon that she was being Yotza, not to her. I mean, by definition, it's going to. So if that's the case, here too, we're going to say, B'yesh Kesef L'Adon Acher. But who's it go to? It goes to her. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. What we're trying to do is we're trying to look at this in a mirror, and we're saying in the Yitziyah here, no money is involved, but in the Yitziyah in the mirror image from the Av, there is money involved. So then it has to be the same type of money that we'd be discussing here. Money that would be going to the Father. And this is Rashi and Tosfos's pshat. Rashi brings from his Rabbein, and the Tosfos brings from the Rabbein of Hanano, that the meaning of Yitziyah the Kavatah is that what we would be talking about is a Yitziyah Narut. Because just like when we're talking about leaving the Adon, that she's leaving, it's because she now has Simonim, so she's no longer a Katana and entered the stage of Narut. And you're asking, how do we know we're talking about a Katana? How do we know, rather, the father gets to take the money even if she's not a Katana? But maybe if she's a Nara, she gets to keep her own money. That was your question. What do you mean? Yitziyah the Kavatah Kamamayah. Is she not going out now as a Nara? Yes, she is. So therefore, we're talking about Nara, not a Katana. What's your kasha? But both Rashi and Tosfos don't like that chat, because they say, but that doesn't address the main issue. We're not saying she's not a Nara, but it doesn't address the question of who gets to keep the money as a Nara. So where do you see from there? You could still ask Ema Ladida. Therefore, what we're talking about is the Yitziyah, the Kavatah, the mirror image of the mechanism of the putative Yitziyah, had it been a Yitziyah Bekesa. Okay, but in any event, we see from there that even as a Nar, there's also a money going to the Father. Wait. If you're really insisting that the Pasuk means to contrast the Yitziyah from the Adon to the Yitziyah from the Father, then you have a serious issue, my friend. Because then I got a problem. Halodanya ha-Yitziyah, la-ha-Yitziyah, by definition, it's not going to be the same. Because ha-tam gabi Adon, not gabi Mishut Elegami. Is it not true that when she leaves the Rishus of the Adon, that's it. She never sees years from him again. They have absolutely no connection left. But if she leaves the father's Rishus, what does that mean? That there was a Kesef. That Kesef was Kedushin. How about a Chuppah? There's still got to be a Chuppah. And who is the one that brings her to the Chuppah? The father has to be Meiser her to the Chuppah. So she has not yet been Yotze Mishut Av. Akati Mechaser Mishirah LaChuppah. So in what sense was she Yotze Mishut Aviyah? Ah, but here we come back to Afaras Nedorim. But the Afarat Nedorim Yanavkelei Mereshuta. Is it not true that the father who previously was empowered to be made for Nedorim, that at this point he can no longer may be made for Nedorim because she is an Arusa? And that Arusa in itself takes her out of the riches of the father. Only in this one thing? Well, of course, there's one other small thing. This was the whole sugya that we've been talking about. The Arusa, the specific relationship of Arusa, legabi the dinan of Knas, right? Narama Urasa. If she had been Arusa, then it got Nara Shalo Urasa. Again, we see the strange interrelationship of the sugyas. Relationship of the father to Erisin in the sugya. So when it comes now to Hafarat Nidarim, there she was Naftalay Mirshute. He no longer can be made for the Nidarim all on his own. It's not Nara Urasa. Now it requires the combination of uva uva ala mefirim la nidareah. So vis-a-vis the sole right of Hafara, she was Yotzei Mereshut Avia. Yeah. Shtar Uvia, that's Kesef. How do we know Minolan? How do we know that if he says, Bidina Tatili Shaza, which means through money, but that's what we're talking about, it's Yid Kabata. How do we know that even the father has a right to not only Kesef, but also Shtar Uvia? Omar Kro, Vahayeta Leish Acher. Vahayeta means Itkush Havayot Lahadad. The Torah is saying any Havaya, any act of Havaya, however it's possible to achieve Kiddushin, all have the same halachas. So if we discover that the father has reshus to kesef, to kiddushin, kesef, it means that he also has rights to kesef, to rather kiddushin with shtar, and to mesira for kiddushin for biyah.